beginning last Sunday, continuing today, and next Sunday concluding, been taking a look at an organization called the Masonic Lodge Freemasonry. My intention, as I stated last week and stated again today, my intention in this is not to condemn those who are trapped in the lodge. My intention is to expose the lodge. My intention is to pull back the curtain on the secrets behind the lodge. Let's look at John chapter 8. We're going to read this later, but I think we'll read it now. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. In 1991, the Atlanta Braves should have won the World Series. They were playing against the Minnesota Twins, and they should have won. In the eighth inning, one of the games, in fact, the final game, Lonnie Smith should have been the winning run. He should have scored from first base when Terry Pendleton came up and hit a shot into deep left center. He should have come around, but Lonnie Smith didn't score. Do you know why he didn't score? Because two of the Minnesota Twins players, the second baseman and the shortstop, tricked him. They made believe they were turning a double play. And as they did that, he slowed down and stopped at second base. And then when he realized what was happening to him and saw he was being duped, he continued on, but he could only make it as far as third base. And he had to stop there. And he never came home. He was stranded there. And the Minnesota Twins ended up winning the World Series because of the deception. Satan continues to attempt to trip us up by his deceptive antics. Look again at John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Jesus is talking to the Jewish people there. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. In these messages, I've departed from my standard sermon format because my intention is primarily to expose the deception, the secrets of this organization. And let me make this statement from the beginning here in this second message on Freemasonry. Freemasonry is completely incompatible with Christianity. Strong statement, but Freemasonry is completely incompatible with Christianity. And why is that? Well, just consider for a moment these summaries of Masonic beliefs. The actual quotes that these summaries are based on are from Masonic writings, their own teachings, their own books. But this is a summary of what they believe. And listen to these and consider these against the backdrop of your own Christian beliefs and understanding. Number one, Jesus Christ is just a man. He was one of the great men of the past, but not divine, and certainly not the only means of redemption for lost mankind. Number two, the Christian Bible is merely one of the holy books of man. No better than the Quran, no better than the Hindu scriptures, or any of the Greek philosophers. Masonry is not based on the Bible. Masonry is actually, and this is from their own writings, is based on the Kabbalah. That is a medieval book of witchcraft, magic, and mysticism. Number three, God is basically whatever we perceive him to be. Our idea or concept of God becomes our God. In Masonry, God is referred to as deity or the great architect of the universe. Higher studies in Masonry reveal God as the forces of nature, and particularly the sun with its life-giving powers. Also, human nature, knowledge, or this light, superior light, and reason are worshipped. Number four, redemption is a matter of self-improvement, morality, and good works, including obedience to the Masonic obligations. Faith in the atonement of Jesus has nothing to do with it. Rather, it is step-by-step enlightenment through the degrees of Masonry. Number five, Satan, and listen carefully to this one, Satan as an enemy of God and his kingdom, as an evil power seeking to tempt, deceive, and destroy, does not exist. The usual Christian perception of Satan is a distortion of the truth about Lucifer, the light bearer. He is actually good and the instrument of liberty, but is generally misunderstood and maligned. Number six, all profane people, that are those who are not Masons, including godly, genuine Christians, are wretched, blind, and lost in complete spiritual darkness. Only initiation into the degrees and mysteries of Masonry will bring them out of darkness and into the light, cleansing and giving them new life. Remember, these are summaries based on the teachings and the writings of Masonry. Number seven, prayers are to be offered to deity, to the great architect of the universe, and are to be universal in nature, so as not to offend anyone and so as to apply to everyone. Prayer is never, underlined, never to be offered in the name of Jesus or in Christ's name. To do so would offend the Muslim, the Hindu, the Buddhist, and whoever else. If the leader of the lodge, the worshipful master, if he allows a prayer in Jesus' name, his lodge can be closed and his charter can be revoked. Number eight, it is right to lie, if necessary, to protect the secrets of the lodge, or to protect another Mason by concealing his wrongdoing. It can even be right to deceive sincere Masons who are seeking to learn the secrets of Masonry. We'll get into more of that next week. Number nine, secrecy is the essence of Masonry. It's necessary for its existence and is protected by blood oaths of mayhem and murder. Number 10, blood oaths are administered at the end of initiation into all Masonic degrees, binding the initiate to protect the, quote, secrets of the degrees. These oaths are unbreakable and are what makes a man a Mason. They are the cornerstone of Masonry. Number 11, Masonry is a never-ending search for true light, always promised but never quite realized. Even at the end, you're told that you need to keep searching. This is all we can do for you. Number 12, and finally, the, quote, light of Freemasonry is only for a few elite men. Excluded are women, the poor, the crippled, the blind and the deaf, and all feeble-minded persons. Even the wives and daughters of Masons are considered unclean or profane. They are unworthy, and they can never be considered anything else. Remember, these are summaries, but they're based on actual Masonic teachings. Okay, you say, but I don't have to believe all that stuff. I can be in the lodge, but I don't have to believe all those things. I can just be in there for the social and the good works and all the fellowship and all those things. I don't have to believe it. Well, let me tell you what psychologist William James said. He said there is, quote, nothing so absurd, but if you repeat it often enough, people will believe it. There is nothing so absurd, but if you repeat it often enough, people will believe it. And so how does this play itself out in the, quote, Christian Mason? Continuous contact with wrong doctrine will have an effect on him. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 28, can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? Well, the answer to both of those is of course not. It's an old illustration, but it's one that fits so perfect. You've heard of it many times. It's the illustration of the frog in the kettle. If you took a pot of boiling water and you threw a frog into it, what would he do? He'd immediately jump out because it would be too hot. He would be in danger of being hurt or dying, and so he'd jump right out of there. But if you took a frog and placed him in a cold or lukewarm pot of water and slowly raised the temperature, the frog would acclimate itself, get used to the water until it eventually was consumed and cooked. This is what happens to the Christian who goes into Freemasonry. A believer's doctrine, what he believes in Christ, becomes compromised over time. And then the problem is it doesn't stay there, because the Mason then brings that wrong doctrine into the church. And can you imagine the influence that a group of deacons could have in a church who are Masons if they bring that wrong doctrine into the church, the way people look to them? or a pastor who's a Mason. And they bring these teachings as they've begun to affect their lives. And this is one of the reasons why you don't, when you go in there, they don't read you off this list of beliefs. They don't read you all that stuff off and say, this is what we believe. Because what would you do? Like the frog, you'd jump out and say, no, that's not right. But over time, as you work your way through the degrees and you're involved, you begin to get this teaching piece by piece. And you begin to have the temperature raised and you begin to be cooked just like that frog. And so the Mason brings wrong doctrines into the church. This cannot be denied. Liberal, unbiblical theology has consumed the Southern Baptist Convention and the United Methodist Church over the last 50 to 75 years. I believe that a certain amount of the blame for that movement can be laid at the door of the Masonic Lodge. So what am I saying? Well, listen. Number one, Freemasonry has helped to promote the New Age movement by this initiating this endless search for light, but not the true light, Jesus Christ. I believe they're responsible for much of the promotion of the New Age movement. And number two, Freemasonry has carried wrong teachings into the church by compromising beliefs in Christianity. And no one who professes Jesus Christ has any business in the Masonic Lodge. Three reasons why no Christian has any business in the Masonic Lodge. Number one, because the Masonic Lodge has a purpose that is a contradiction of Christianity. We had to accept Jesus Christ into our heart, the true and only light and source of light. And Freemasonry teaches you to look for an ultimate light that's apart from Jesus Christ. So Freemasonry has a purpose that is a contradiction to Christianity. And second, which is what we're looking at today, it has a morality that is a compromise of Christianity. And then next week, finally, Freemasonry has a basis that is a condemnation of Christianity. Its basis is satanic and in the cult of pagan religion and worship. Back there in John chapter 8, look at verse 12. Jesus said to them again, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus Christ is the light. You don't have to search for light. You don't have to go looking for a source of light. If you have Jesus Christ, if he's your Savior and Lord, then you have the light, the source of all light, the creator of the universe living within you. You don't have to go looking anywhere for it. So a Christian who gets involved in the lodge has put that aside and has gone looking for something more than Jesus Christ. And there is nothing more than Jesus Christ. And then look at verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Why is Masonic morality a compromise of Christianity? Well, let me point out a couple of things. First of all, the Mason rejects the very people that Jesus Christ sought to receive. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who desires come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus Christ said, anyone who desires, anyone who wants to come can come. Freemasonry says, these very ones that Jesus Christ sought cannot come. The blind are excluded. Why? Because they can't identify the secret signs. The crippled are excluded. Why? Because they can't assume the positions to learn and to do the secret signs. The poor, because they can't pay the dues or the fees that are necessary to be involved. The feeble-minded, because they can't function properly in the lodge, and the emotionally ill. Why? Because they can't be trusted with the secrets. And most especially the women. Why? Because they decided that they are just plain unsuitable to be Masons for no other reason. Masons who cannot afford higher degrees must remain in the Blue Lodge at the third degree, the Master Masons. If you can't afford to go through the other degrees, well, you can't go through the other degrees. You got to stay at that level. There's an elitism that comes because of wealth, and you can't take certain positions in the lodge unless you have a certain amount of wealth, unless you have a certain type of home, and have certain influences and positions in society. Those things are checked out before you're allowed to have certain roles inside of the lodge. Masons deceive each other in order to maintain the elite status. For example, Blue Lodge Masons are deceived about the real meanings of the symbols of Freemasonry. That symbol that you see a lot of times of the compass and the square and the G in the middle of it. The Master Mason in the Blue Lodge is told one thing about what it means, and it sounds good and everything. But as you get into the higher degrees, you learn what it really means. The basis of pagan religion, which I'm going to talk about next week. So if you want to find out the meanings of the symbols, either get a book or come back. Masons vow not to, listen to this, Masons vow not to, quote, violate the chastity of the mother, wife, sister, or daughter of another Mason, knowing her to be such. That sounds good, doesn't it, at first? But wait a minute. He makes a vow, this is right from the beginning. He makes a vow not to violate the chastity of a mother, wife, sister, or daughter of another Mason, knowing her to be such? That means if he doesn't know her to be such, he can? That's what's being said there. Think about it. It sounds good, but what is it really saying? Could the sexual revolution that's happened in this nation found its basis in these teachings as they've come out of this lodge into society? Could it be? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside his body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Another oath that's taken. Masons swear not to, quote, cheat, wrong, or defraud another Mason, knowing them to be such. You get that phrase. Don't do these things to another Mason if you know that they're a Mason. Well, what is that telling you? It's okay to cheat, wrong, or defraud anybody else or even a Mason if you don't know that he's a Mason. These things sound so good and so wonderful, but when you really analyze them, they don't stand scrutiny. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28 says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Masons swear to keep the secrets of another Mason, even if protecting him means withholding evidence of a crime. At some of the degrees of Masonry, murder and treason are exceptions, that you can't withhold that information. But you know, as you get higher and higher in the degrees, there are no exceptions. That means that you give false testimony if it's going to protect a brother Mason. Perjure yourself if it's going to protect a brother Mason. And in fact, if you're a Mason and you're a judge, maybe this is what's wrong with our judicial system in our country today, because many of them are Masons. Even if it means rendering a false verdict to protect another Mason as a Mason judge. These are all harsh things. These are all heavy accusations, but they're all based upon the actual teachings in the writings of the Masonic Lodge. What does Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16 say? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, period. God doesn't make a whole lot out of it. Don't lie. And then in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God hates lying, and not only when you don't have to protect somebody. Masons swear also, this sounds really good, Masons swear to assist widows and orphans and others, so long as it does not inconvenience them or is sacrificial to any of their material belongings. Assist widows, assist orphans, assist others. Come to their aid as long as it's not inconvenient for you to do so and as long as there's no sacrifice on your part. What did Jesus say in John 15, verses 12 and 13? Jesus said these words, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. For the Christian, entrance into the Masonic Lodge initiates backsliding. You ever heard of Robert Robertson? Robert Robertson wrote a hymn that we're familiar with, the old hymn, Come Thou Fount. He wrote that when he was 23 years old. The third verse contains a phrase, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Unfortunately, this phrase was prophetic for Robertson, as his later life was characterized by lapses into sin. While riding a stagecoach, Robinson was reminded of his sin when a woman began humming this hymn. She later engaged him in conversation and asked what he thought of the hymn. He was overcome with emotion and said, Madam, I am the poor unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago, and I would give 1,000 worlds, if I had them, to enjoy the feelings I had then. And since we're all, quote, prone to wander, we need to learn to hold each other up. Freemasonry is a self-serving organization that's held in Satan's grip. And the more one learns of it, the more one investigates it, the more selfish it is. In Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, God says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Acts chapter 2 and verse 40 reads this way, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And let me tell you about our loved ones who are involved in the Masonic Lodge, my loved ones and your loved ones. And maybe, I don't know, maybe someone here is involved in this lodge. But we must exhort our loved ones who are in the Masonic Lodge to be saved from that perverse organization, the Masonic Lodge. And if we come to a time of invitation, I would call you to the decision to surrender yourself totally to Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, now's the time to make that decision, to settle eternity. If you do know Jesus Christ, then you need to examine your life and be sure that it's pleasing to God and that the things you're involved in, they're associated with, are things that He would find acceptable and pleasing. Be totally surrendered to Him in every part of your life.